So the next scripture reading is from Matthew 24, 36 to 44. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Keith?
All kinds of glitter on the pulpit here. This is a special morning. What a welcome. Trust that you had a good Thanksgiving. Ours was good. I mentioned a smaller group today because some people are traveling. Normally we'd be traveling. This is the first Thanksgiving in probably 20 years that we've stayed in northern New York. And we have our kids to thank for that. Normally we travel to Indiana for a family gathering. Not all of our kids could go, but they told us, if you stay home, we will all come to see you in Lowellville. So we took that option. So here we are. Actually, if it hadn't been for the impending storm, it would have been two Sundays in a row that our kids would have been here in church this morning. Now, that's a sign of the end times if there is anything. Matthew would have written about that. It was a learning experience for me because Black Friday is never something I participated in. Our family was together doing other things. I never read the newspaper because we didn't get it. And I got it on Wednesday this year for the first time in many years, and it was about that thick. I can light fires for the rest of the winter with that issue by itself. And Beth mentioned living with those things that you, finding those things you can't do without. Kind of ironic that we spend Thanksgiving being faithful for what we have, but then we look through the circulars and see all the good deals that are at the store that very night, and we spend the rest of the night trying to get the things that we don't have. And that, my mind got a little twisted around that, and it didn't go well for me. Went to this big store, and it was crowded, and I couldn't get around, and I couldn't even get out of the store. They had the exit blocked. They told me I needed to walk all the way around and go back the other way. And I pretended I didn't hear and went under the tape and went out the door anyway. I feel a little bad about that, but I'd still be there, I think, if I'd gone the proper way. There was a gentleman there. There's a new phone that's out. Now, that's the other thing. As soon as you buy a cell phone, a better model is going to come out later. This one was a little on the expensive side. The iPhone 11 Pro Max, I believe, is about $1,300, but it was only $1,100 on this particular night. And there was a man standing there, a guy with a camo jacket and a hunting hat on and pretty tough-looking guy, boots. The kind of guy that if you ever needed something, he'd be there in a minute to help you. That kind of guy. And he said, they want $1,100 for this phone. And the girl, the wife, whatever, girlfriend that was with him, responded in probably the wisest way, uh-huh. I could buy two Browning rifles for that. Uh-huh. So it was just an interesting night. But the same thing that happened to me at Thanksgiving is the same thing that can happen to this passage. Our minds can get twisted and we see things that we didn't know we wanted, and suddenly when you see a good price on it, suddenly we have these wants and needs and we didn't even have them before. And so our focus is taken away from the real meaning of the day. And I think in this particular passage from Matthew chapter 24, the same thing has happened. We get caught up in a certain detail in the text, and it takes away from the real meaning of what it is. 1969 was a very significant year for me. I turned into a teenager. My parents would probably say I turned into something much worse than that, but that's what I recall. I started listening to popular music for the first time in my life and reading newspapers, went to Beaver Camp for the very first year, and my whole life was kind of changed after 1969. So when I saw this book in the library, 1969, the year everything changed, I had to check that out and read it. I'm about halfway through it, but the author makes a note that 1969 was one of the most significant years of our time as far as how many changes were happening. Now, the author didn't even know that Beaver Camp was purchased in 1969. That's a big deal. The big rock festival in Woodstock, the landing on the moon, the Vietnam War, that was a revealing thing because now the war was coming across on our television sets, right into the living room. First time that had happened. And that changed the way the country felt about what was happening overseas. The social values and behaviors were changing. So many things were happening at one time, and there was a feeling like this change is happening so fast. There was even a book written by Alvin Toffler called Future Shock, written about that time, about the trouble that we were headed for if we didn't change our ways. And something else came out of the year 1969, and I remember it very well. There started to be a real feeling that we were living in the last days and the second coming of Christ was going to happen any time, and we better be ready for it. There was a book that was written by Hal Lindsey called The Late Great Planet Earth, and I remember it well because our Sunday school class studied that book, and that book asserted that it was going on the basis that since the nation of Israel had declared independence in 1948, there was a biblical passage that indicated that just a couple generations would pass, and then Christ would return the second time. And so the hypothesis was put forth that in one more generation, Christ was going to come. And the book of Revelation was divided into several different dispensations by this author, and everybody was caught up in that, and there were even movies that were produced. I went on a date with Marie Miller to one of those movies, and afterward I was kind of didn't know what to say. I don't think she did either. That was a strange film. Thief in the Night. I bet some of you remember that. A lot of churches showed that film. Must have been successful because there were two more films after that. There was almost an obsession with the second coming of Christ, and this passage would have been used, particularly the part where one is taken and the other left, and you better be ready because you don't want to be the one who's left. And I think that we got a little bit away from the real meaning of this text, which is the promise of God to always be with us and the unexpectedness of what might happen in the future. That particular part of unexpectedness in verse 23, which is not a part of our text this morning, but Jesus says, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce great signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And then in the passage that Connie read, there's this idea of if somebody, that no one knows when this return is going to happen. That particular verse and passage, I guess, has been forgotten by some of the futurists that have been caught up in trying to predict exactly when some of this is going to happen. I've also noticed in that part about the one being taken, the other left, the people are doing the same thing. Some have said, well, that just means that some of us pass on and die, and others are left behind to deal with what's left. But if you look at it from the futurist point of view, that's not how it was being interpreted. So, how do you interpret this passage? Well, there's three basic ways that I understand this passage to be interpreted. One is that we are in the last days, and it means now, even though this was written a couple thousand years ago. There are many who believe that it was talking about this time period right now. And if 1969 was important, how much is 2019 when you can buy a little black box for $1,100? Actually, you can get one almost free if you don't get the latest model that can do 100 times what anything in 1969 could do. I remember when I saw the movie Wall Street, which came out, I don't know, 1980 sometime. Michael Douglas is walking on the beach talking on a cordless phone. It's about that big. And that is amazing. How does that work? There's no cord connecting it. I still remember the first cordless phone I got. And I called my sister in Seattle, Washington, about midnight. It was only 9 o'clock there. I said, guess what? I'm talking to you on a cordless phone. Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you. And we talked for about an hour, and I was just enthralled about this phone. It was just the coolest thing. That phone probably wouldn't even work today with the technology that we have. So with the advances that have happened in the last 50 years, who knows what's going to happen in the next 50? And some would say we're not going to last another 50. The end times are now. And the proper way to respond is to be alert, be watchful, be ready. A second interpretation is that the final manifestation of Christ is going to happen sometime in the future. We don't know when. It might be a long time from now. There's not really any specific signs that we have, and we're mindful of that part where Jesus says, don't spend time trying to figure out when it's going to be, because nobody's going to know. Jesus implied that even he didn't know. But the result was the same. Be watchful, be alert, and be ready. A third interpretation is that this passage really doesn't have anything to do with trying to figure out the future at all. In fact, the reason Matthew wrote this was to indicate that Christ is always with us regardless. There was a kind of apocalyptic literature that was very present in the first century that we don't use so much today. And the real meaning of this text is that God is with us right now. And that as believers, we should be trying to usher in the kingdom now, right here, so that people could experience Christ in their very lives. And the same approach is necessary. Be watchful, be alert, and be ready for how you can present Christ to the rest of the world. Now, since the response to all three of those beliefs is the same, it really isn't all that important how you interpret this passage, because the call for action is still be watchful, be alert, and be ready. One of the things that I think came out of the year 1969, and I felt it a little bit, even as a teenager, and I overheard my parents' conversations, just a little bit of a fear of the future. This wild new music that kids were listening to, and the movies that were coming out that were getting more and more revealing and were starting to be rated PG and PG-13. That came later, I guess, and R and X, and social mores were changing, and just a number of different things happening in the society. There was a real fear for the future. What's going to happen? And now there's that feeling again, 50 years later. What's going to happen in the future? There's just a little bit of a fear there. There is a phrase that was used at a series of speeches on the book of Revelation that Dwayne Yoder gave at Naumburg several years ago. Say what you want about Dwayne, but he certainly has an exposition of the book of Revelation that I found helpful. And a theme throughout that book was in the meantime. And the book was, according to Dwayne, focused on what to do while we're waiting for Christ to return. And the words that he used was the meantime. And he had several different examples of verses from the book of Revelation that talk about how we're in this meantime, we're sort of in this limbo period. And there's a suggestion that maybe this is what Matthew is writing about as Jesus is talking in this passage. In the meantime, be alert, be watchful, be ready. Jesus is always with us. That's the theme of an Advent that we're celebrating this year. Interestingly enough, on the first Advent Sunday, just about every year in the lectionary, the focus is on the second coming. Sometimes I think that idea of focusing on the second coming helps us to appreciate the first coming of Christ and what he has accomplished, and it does help us to be alert and to be watchful and to be ready. But sometimes our fear of the future can paralyze us and immobilize us, and we end up not doing anything. All of the what-ifs come into our minds, and we sit still rather than moving. How much more might we venture or risk for God if we believe that regardless of the outcome, we can experience more deeply the healing presence of God? If we had that confidence, what more might we do? And what more might we gain? I suppose some advice that I would leave you after reading this passage is simply during this Advent season to pay attention. pay attention to the people closest to you. They know you better than anyone else. What are they telling you? What are they sharing with you? Pay attention to the people that you encounter every day on the street and in the grocery store, shopping carts are jammed together so much you can't even walk down the aisle. Pay attention. What are people saying? What are their attitudes? Pay attention to the people who are the least like you. With social media these days, we can pretty much figure out who that is really quick. What can we learn from the people who are not like us? And in my life, I have learned a lot from people who have beliefs much different than mine. Pay attention to what God is doing in the world right here and right now. There is a lot happening that if we have too much fear of the future, we don't see what's right under our nose. And finally, pay attention to yourself. Self-awareness is a bit underrated these days. I became aware of a few things myself over this holiday weekend that I kind of knew were there, but they sort of came to light in a way that I'm not real proud of. So that helps to be able to pay attention and to focus. And again, to be alert and to be watchful and to be ready. We are not alone. Let's live like it. Invite everyone to stick around for our fellowship meal this afternoon. Connie will have the benediction later and the prayer for that. There was a request that our group is not that large today, so if everybody could sit at the tables that are next to the wall away from the sewing room, that would be a good thing, keep us a little bit more together. And I should also tell you that while we did not travel to Indiana over Thanksgiving, Connie and I will be gone next week. At least that's the plan as of now. We're going to Florida again. Some of you say, what? Again? Well, we didn't pay anything for the tickets, and so being Mennonite, we have to do this. Actually, that's not quite true. I'll be doing some fundraising down there for Beaver Camp, and we'll be doing some sitting as well. But hopefully that is what's going to happen. But if you see us here next Sunday, that means the trip fell through, and that could possibly happen yet. Again, that final word. We're not alone this Advent season. Let's live like it.